Now, over the Atlantic to Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. I shall just put a penny in the slot, Simon, if I may, and leave you to articulate.
Well, this, I mean, for all the seriousness of Brexit that you were just talking about and the end to humour about it in the UK, on this side of the Atlantic, this has truly turned out to be the week when there's been quite a bit of humour that we've been able to enjoy as the Donald Trump train has continued rolling rather less than smoothly down the tracks. We witnessed here yesterday events, and you can pick your popular culture reference, I mean, whether it was us all peeking behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, or whether it was 24 meeting the Keystone Cops, meeting House of Cards, social commentators can determine. But we saw the arrests yesterday here of two business associates of Rudy Giuliani. Soviet-born, they'd lived in the United States for many years, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman. They'd been sort of bit players in this story on the sidelines. We knew about them. We knew that Rudy Giuliani had ties to them. What we didn't know was that they were about to be arrested for campaign finance violations. They are accused of steering Ukrainian and Russian government money to political action committees and to congressional campaigns here through essentially a shell company in the United States. They're facing very serious allegations. But the manner of their capture was just astounding. On Wednesday, they had lunch with Rudy Giuliani. Where else but at the Trump Hotel in the center of Washington, D.C.? We know that at the end of that lunch, they suddenly hot-footed it to Washington's Dulles Airport, where they both purchased one-way tickets to Vienna. They were then arrested by federal agents who descended on Washington's Dulles Airport and stopped them essentially from fleeing the country. The further wrinkle in this is that we now know that the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, was also planning to fly to Vienna, a previously undisclosed trip that he apparently suddenly decided to make this week. So there is evidence to suggest that they must have rumbled the fact that they were about to get arrested. All of this is problematic for Donald Trump because these two men, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, are the two men that Rudy Giuliani was using to dig up dirt about Joe Biden and his son Hunter in Ukraine. So the Democrats are salivating over this development in the impeachment story. There was more yesterday. Michael Pillsbury, the president's informal advisor on China, told the Financial Times that he had received incriminating information about Hunter Biden from Chinese officials. The Financial Times published the story as a front page exclusive. Within hours, Mr. Pillsbury was appearing on television here, denying that he had spoken to the Financial Times, a situation that became problematic for him when the Financial Times published the email exchange between him and their senior investigative reporter that led to the front page exclusive. I suppose it's possible that Mr. Pillsbury wanders down, I suppose what we could call Rebecca Vardy Avenue, and suggests that his email account was captured by someone else who was trying to get him into trouble. But all of this has sort of added to the sense that these rolling allegations now, day after day, are just doing deep, deep damage to President Trump. And his defenders at this point can't even keep up with the welter of allegations and now arrests that are being made. And I think we're going to see a real head of steam now behind the Democrats' impeachment inquiry, with suggestions here that they are very hopeful that they can get this whole thing wrapped up and put to a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives by the end of the year, with now a majority of Americans, 51% as of yesterday in the latest Fox News poll, saying that they want to see President Trump impeached.
As the provenance being pertinent there, a Fox News poll. That's what happened. Poor Mr. Trump must be wondering whether anything is sacred. Speaking of which, Syria.
Yes, well, I mean, that's been the other major development of the week, with obviously tragic elements to it, not humorous ones. And President Trump being roundly condemned by the very Republican senators upon whom he is going to depend for the future of his presidency. Because remember, if he gets impeached in the House of Representatives, which now seems increasingly likely, he will be put on trial in the Senate. And at that point, Republican senators will have to decide, is this the man we want to keep in office, or do we want to cut and run and turf him out and come up with an alternative candidate for 2020? They have been sorely put to the test this week by the president's decision to sell the Kurds down the river in a telephone call last Sunday night with the president of Turkey, in which we are now told Donald Trump went, surprise, surprise, off script from the talking points that he was given by his top security officials ahead of the call. He is being widely accused of the greatest act of military betrayal in modern American history, given that those Kurdish militias are the militias alongside whom Americans have fought and died in the battle against Islamic State. He gave an extraordinary press conference the other day in which he appeared to justify selling the Kurds down the river by suggesting that they'd done absolutely nothing for America on the beaches of Normandy. He was then asked did he have no concerns about the prospect of thousands of ISIS fighters escaping the detention camps in which they were being held by the Kurds, and we know that some of those escapes have now happened. And he said, well, he wasn't really worried about it because they'd be escaping back to Europe. I mean, American foreign policy has rarely been smaller in terms of the doctrine, for want of a better word, that Donald Trump appeared to be espousing this week. Syria's a long way away from here. It's not worth keeping the 50 soldiers there, who, by the way, have kept the peace on the border with Turkey for the last several months and years. We need to bring everybody home, and this is now Europe's problem to deal with if ISIS regroups and establishes a new bridgehead in the region. That's an extraordinary place for American foreign policy to come to. And again, Republicans up on Capitol Hill in the Senate, they're going to have a tough decision to make in a few weeks' time. Do they really want four more years, potentially, of this absolute chaos?
I think it was in the same press conference, but we can leave the tragic case of 19-year-old Harry Dunn killed by the wife of because I think the words provided by his parents, Charlotte and Tim, do your job for you. Insensitive, clumsy and oafish is how they elected to describe Donald Trump. So briefly, because we've mentioned Fox News, and I follow American media, but not as closely as you do. Is anyone defending Trump on the Kurdish question, even among his most sort of blind and slavish devotees?
No, there's no one out there defending his move on the Kurdish issue, and absolutely no one, certainly no one of any merit that I can immediately identify or recall seeing. And he lies about this, by the way. He says, well, he's heard from Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator up on Capitol Hill, and the vast array of generals that are taking to television screens to criticize what he's done. But he understands both sides of it, and there are lots of people who have been in touch. He always claims that there are all these people who have apparently been in touch, melting the White House switchboard down, deluging his office with, I don't understand in what method they've been in touch, but he assures you there are lots of people out there who think that he's done the right thing. There are simply no voices with any degree of seriousness here, with any serious national security qualifications, who believe that this has been done correctly, been done in any kind of measured way. Everyone in this town knows it has kicked off an absolutely mad scramble behind the scenes at both the State Department and the Pentagon to try and figure out what happens now. And what happens now is deeply uncertain because, James, this is still, to this day, a president of the United States who has not called for a cessation of hostilities. He says that what the Turks have done is a bad idea, even though he gave it the green light. He is threatening to obliterate the Turkish economy, whatever that means, if the Turks act in an inhumane way. We don't precisely know what that means either. But at the end of the day, is this president really going to sanction Turkey? Is he going to sign legislation sanctioning Turkey for doing something that he told President Erdogan personally he was okay with the Turks going ahead and doing?
Simon Marks, Magnificent reporting as ever, albeit of rather grim matters. Thank you very much indeed for your time. There is a Bishop Auckland connection as well, believe it or not, to Donald Trump, which we didn't have time to explore, but we'll talk to Simon about that next week.